discussion with my sister.
We could. We will bring the January 3rd, 2024 meeting of the Board of Directors of the Eastern Municipal Water District to order. Happy New Year's, everyone. This is the start of Eastern's 74th year as a public agency. And with that in mind, I think Director Slauson has probably seen more of those 74 years than anybody in the room. So we're going to let him lead the Pledge of Allegiance this morning.
Everyone, please stand and join me in the pledge to our nation's flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This time I'm going to ask the Board Secretary if she would read the rules for virtual participation and then take roll call of the Board and legal counsel.
Yes. To avoid creating acoustic feedback, please mute all your devices during the meeting unless you are speaking. Before speaking, please unmute your device and turn down the volume of any other devices that are near you and tuned into the meeting. If you have joined by phone and would like to comment on an item, please press star 9 to let our staff know and wait to be notified. When it is your turn to speak, you will hear a notification asking you to unmute your phone by pressing star 6. If you've joined by computer, you may use the chat feature in Zoom to indicate your desire to speak. When done speaking, please mute your device again, and please participate from a quiet environment so that the Board can hear you when you are speaking. And now we will do roll call. President Pauley?
Here.
Director Corona?
Here.
Director Slauson?
Here.
Our legal counsel is present, and just to note that Directors Armstrong and Record are both absent.
Thank you very much. Item 1 on our agenda is public comment. April, do we have anybody indicating they'd like to do public comment for any item not on the agenda this morning?
I do not have any requests for that.
Very good. Item 2 this morning is our recognition. Alan, I understand we have an Eagle Scout candidate who did a project for the district who would like to officially turn that over to the district this morning.
Yes, President Pauley. Thank you very much and established members of the Board. So we are honored to have a special guest among us today, Hudson Pauley from Boy Scout Troop 384, who has successfully completed his Eagle Scout project at our wetlands facility. He is eager to share the details and insights he gained from his commendable project, and we look forward to his presentation. Hudson?
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello. Thank you, Mr. Freetag. I'd first like to thank my Scoutmaster, Mr. Andy Vogt, for joining me here today. Today, I'm officially turning over my Eagle Scout service project to EMWD. I would like to thank Ms. Cody, Mr. Freetag, and the EMWD staff and leadership who made it possible to conduct my service project at the San Jacinto Wetlands Reserve. My project was designed and constructed a bird blind at one of the lookout points on the basin to watch and observe the wildlife that lives there. The slats of the bird blind shield human movement, making it less likely that the birds and wildlife would fly off. I also added a bench behind the blind. The wetlands have been a memorable place for me throughout the years. The photos show me in the third grade learning about birds, which I am now in the 11th grade, and I believe it holds value in the education of children in certain areas of biology and increasing an overall interest in science. There are few locations in our region where there are so many abundant species of birds. In fact, just 2 weeks ago when my friend Cameron and I were working on our Fish and Wildlife Management merit badge, we watched a bald eagle soar over the basins. I took this as a good sign. It was also rewarding to watch members of the public along with the Audubon Society enjoy watching the birds from behind my project. The space is also very special, and I'm grateful that the Board of Directors and EMWD leadership preserve this sensitive area while at the same time allowing public access with knowledgeable educators. Finally, I'd like to thank Mr. Freetag for all his guidance and mentoring he provided me during these 6 months. Not all scouts are as lucky as I am to have a beneficiary so attentive and responsive to my ideas and questions. He allowed me to come up with a design, make suggestions, and give me guidance throughout the entire process. He was also on site for both of my work days. I'd like to present Mr. Freetag with an Eagle Scout mentor pin as a sign of my appreciation for all his support.
Very good. I could do a photo.
I will say on behalf of the district, we happily accept your Eagle Scout project, and it adds a lot of enjoyment to the people that participate in our bird watches. So thank you again, sir. With that, we will go on to item three this morning, which is our executive reports. Mr. Mawad.
Good morning, President Pauley, members of the board, and happy new year. Wishing you an incredible 2024 to come. My report is included in your packet under new and ongoing items. The last couple of weeks of 2003 brought significant activities related to the San Diego LAFCO actions associated with the Fallbrook and Rainbow reorganization. Specifically, on December 21st, settlement agreements were executed between the San Diego County Water Authority and Fallbrook, as well as Rainbow. Part of the settlement agreement with the Fallbrook Public Utilities is an operational plan that was agreed upon between the two agencies. Following execution of the settlement agreements, San Diego LAFCO certified completion of the reorganization and annexation of the Fallbrook Public Utilities as part of EMWD. That certification was filed with the San Diego County on December 28th and subsequently with Riverside County on December 29th. Upon the certification of completion by San Diego LAFCO, I reached out to the general manager at Metropolitan Water District last week and essentially communicated to him via letter that Metropolitan will need to effectuate the reorganization of Fallbrook as part of EMWD, and specifically the billing and operational changes that are necessary effective January 1st, 2024. In addition, upon execution of the settlement agreements, all party to the litigation, including San Diego County Water Authority, LAFCO, Rainbow, and Fallbrook, have agreed to dismiss EMWD from the litigation. And yesterday, the San Diego County Water Authority did file with the court a dismissal without prejudice of EMWD from the ongoing litigation. With all these developments, staff later this morning will be bringing forward a water service agreement with Fallbrook PUD for your consideration. Next, I wanted to give you an update on the state water project allocation. As you know, with the conclusion of 2023, that also concluded 100% allocation on the state water project and the start of what is initially 10% allocation on the state water project. That means a temporary suspension of EMWD's water recharge activities, as well as the cyclic storage program participation. If hydraulic conditions improve, and they will have to improve to at least 30% state water project allocation, we will resume those activities. Currently, there's been significant rain and precipitation throughout the state, but the snowpack has been below average conditions. Yesterday, the Department of Water Resources conducted a snow survey, and it showed that there's only 25% snowpack compared to average conditions. Having said that, though, overnight, last night, there was a significant amount of snow that fell in the Sierra Nevada mountains, several inches of snow. So the conditions will continue to evolve, and we will continue to update our water supply strategies accordingly. As I mentioned, Metropolitan would have to see more than 30% allocation for Metropolitan to resume its recharge activities, as well as not to take any water out of storage, including Diamond Valley Lake. Next, I wanted to update the board. You may have seen in the papers recently that after a 13-year legislative and regulatory endeavor, on December 19th, the State Board adopted regulations for direct portable recharge that establishes criteria for introducing recycled water either directly into a public water system or into a raw water supply immediately upstream of a water treatment plant. This action is going to allow water agencies to expand their water recycling capabilities and continue to invest in infrastructure to help improve drought resiliency. Prior to the state board hearing, EMWD submitted a comment letter that encouraged the state board to adopt a broad set of alternatives that would allow regulations to adapt to future changes in technologies and processes and establish a consistent standard to monitor constituents of emerging concern. And I'm pleased to report that ultimately the regulations that were adopted did include a strategic plan to address constituents of emerging concern as well as evolving technology into the future. The state board members instructed staff to report back to the state board in approximately 1 year to provide an update on the implementation of the regulations. Following the state board adoption, the regulations will be reviewed by Cal EPA before going to the California Office of Administrative Law, where they will be incorporated into the California Code of Regulations, which is anticipated in April of this year. Finally, under items of interest to the board, I'm very pleased to share with you that AQUA released its committee assignments and leadership positions, and EMWD is well represented on 9 committees, as identified in my report, including Director Randy Record on the Ag Committee. And I'll also note that Jolene Walsh will be chairing the Federal Affairs Committee, as well as be represented on the AQUA Board of Directors. President Pauly and I did send a letter to AQUA President Kathy Green expressing our appreciation for the appointments. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
No questions, but I can just say I am excited that Jolene Walsh is going to chair the Federal Affairs Committee. I could think of no better person to be doing that. So,
agreed.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Laura, do you have anything for us this morning?
Nothing this morning.
Nick?
Yes, I have a couple of items I can share with the board. The first is that, you know, given the weather conditions that we have and those conditions which are forecasted in the near future and the fact that our recycled water demands are fairly low and we anticipate will continue to be low for quite some time, recycled water storage levels is at 80%+, and we have a target of no more than 90% to give us the operational flexibility that we need. As of about 9 a.m. this morning, we began discharging recycled water initially. Our discharge rate is going to be about 14 million gallons a day. Over the next day or two, we anticipate ramping that up to about 25-30 MGD, and we'll continue to inform the board as we continue to monitor conditions and our storage capacities. Second item I'd like to share with you. Happy to say that with the conclusion of calendar year 2023, we finished the year with an injury rate of 1.09%. This is the lowest injury rate for EMWD in recorded history, and you know, with a as a comparison with an industry rate currently of about 4.9%, EMWD is about 78% above. I'm sorry, below our peers in the industry based on that average. So really pleased with this year and our safety record and the entire district's performance and support in ensuring that we have a safe place of employment. Any questions?
Great. I don't think so. Thank you. That's great news.
Good morning, President Pauly. Nothing from me other than wishing you Happy New Year.
All right. Very good. That we will go on to our consent calendar. Do any members of the board want to take an item for a separate vote or have a conflict? See none.
I'll move it.
Moved by Director Cronus, second by Director Slauson. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Cronus?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
That passes 3-0 with Directors Armstrong and Record absent. Now go on to our action calendar. 5A is to approve and authorize contracts with Downey Construction Incorporated for $7.6 million, Kennedy Jinks for $80,000, Converse Consultants for $168,000, and Woodward and Curran for $173,000 under specification number 1489W, Paris North Raw Water Conveyance Pipeline Phase 3 an additional appropriation of $9.4 million. Good morning and Happy New Year, Mr. Stone.
Good morning and Happy New Year, President Pauly and members of the board. I thought we'd start off the year with a nice long title for you.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much.
As you noted, I'm here to present the award of construction for our Phase 3 Paris North Pipeline. We actually have a representative from Downing Construction here in the audience
with
us today.
Thank you for being here this morning.
Downing is actually also working on our Phase 2 pipeline.
Yes.
So they've been a fairly consistent contractor with the district, and we're happy to have them.
They're good partners of ours.
And so the pipeline I'm speaking with about today is the one in red, our Phase 3 pipeline. It's located in the city of Moreno Valley. Runs from Ironwood to Paris Boulevard, south to our consolidated treatment system. It will be crossing the 60 freeway. There was some discussion we had, and I'll get into it a little bit later, about some of the nuances of the project. The scope is approximately 13,000 linear feet of 18-inch pipeline. It's a combination of PVC and steel. We have five jack and bore locations along the pipeline. Interestingly, we will be open cutting underneath the 60 freeway. However, Caltrans is asking us to put the pipeline within a casing for that area. Status of the other pipelines, the phase one was completed in September of 2021, and phase two is currently construction as noted with the completion of mid-2024. We advertised for bids on October 16th. We received nine. Downing Construction was the lowest responsive responsible bidder in the amount of approximately $7.6 million, below our engineer's estimate of $8.4 million. And as is typical for the district, we requested services during construction from our on-call engineers and geotechs of record, Converse for geotech, Kennedy Jinks for design services, and then environmental monitoring for the mitigation and monitoring plan from Woodward Caron. The schedule, should the board choose to award the project today, will begin immediately here in January, with construction completed approximately July of 2025 with a total contract duration of 545 calendar days. Our recommendation today is award of construction contract to Downing in the amount of approximately $7.6 million, an award to Kennedy Jinks in the amount of approximately $81,000, an award to Converse Consultants in the amount of approximately $169,000, a award to Woodward Caron for environmental monitoring in the amount of $173,000, and administrative award of other necessary contracts to complete the project. And finally, an additional appropriation of approximately $9.4 million, bringing the total project to approximately $150 million. And that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Director Slauson?
I have no questions.
All right. Would you like to move the item?
I'll move the item.
Second by Director Crona. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Crona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Passes 3-0 with Directors Armstrong and Record absent. Thank you, Mr. Stone. Item B, to approve an authorized contract with Schuller Contract Construction for $282,000 under specification 1488W for construction of the Hemet Water Filtration Plant Bullfalter Replacement Project, an additional appropriation amount of $489,000. Mr. Stone, you'll do it again.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Good morning again. This project is a maintenance project located at the Hemet Filtration Plant. The existing bowl filter, these are the screening units that screen the incoming raw water prior to them hitting the membrane units. They're ending have reached the end of their useful life. Maintenance staff has repaired them multiple times, welding several leaks on the bodies. Several months ago, the board authorized the staff to purchase new bowl filter units. These are an upgraded stainless steel model that will be more durable for the long term. And again, this project will replace the existing units. So the project scope is to demolish the existing units. You can see those in the photo in the upper right, and install the new units shown in the lower right. We're going to build new concrete foundations, some piping modifications, and some electrical upgrades for controls. We will ensure that the new filters are fully operational before taking the old ones offline. So as you can see in the photo, there are two. We will do them one at a time so that the plant can maintain operation. Summary of bids. We advertised on October 19th. We received three bids in November. Schuller Construction was the lowest responsible bidder. And, in fact, Brian Soule, the owner of Schuller, is over here to my left.
Thank you for being here today, sir.
Schuller has been a long-term contractor for the district over probably 20 or 25 years. The engineer's estimate for the project was $320,000. And again, Schuler has been with us for a long time and performed very similar work, and it provides excellent quality. Engineering services during construction. The scope of work with spec services is for some project administration, the review of submittals for the piping, electrical, and other items, some site meetings of his, and to ultimately prepare our record drawings. Spec services was competitively selected off of our on-call list and has performed these services for the district in the past. The total fee is shown in the table to the right. Our schedule, should the board choose to award today, will begin immediately with an October finish for a total of 9-month duration. So our recommendation today is an award to Schuler Constructors in the amount of approximately $283,000, an award to Spec Services for engineering services during construction in the amount of approximately $37,000, an administrative award of other ancillary contracts necessary to complete the work, and finally an additional appropriation of $489,000, bringing the total estimated project cost to approximately $778,000. And that concludes my presentation.
Any questions?
I'll move staff's recommendation.
Moved by Director Cronin, second by Director Slauson. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Cronin?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Passes 3-0. Director Record and Director Armstrong absent. Again, gentlemen, both of you, thank you for being here today. I appreciate it. Thank you for the good work that you do on behalf of the district. So that item C is to adopt proposed resolution authorizing the 2024 board committee and other assignments, including approval of memberships, agencies, and outside organization representation. Mr. Mawad.
Good morning again, President Pauley. On an annual basis, each January, we bring forward an updated assignments for the board, including the external representation on various committees. This year, we are bringing forward a slightly updated list of committees and assignments that we discussed with the executive committee. And specifically included in your packet are the red line changes we are proposing to establish a new committee to plan for the 75th anniversary of EMWD that will be coming up in 2025. So we are recommending that President Pauley and Director Slauson serve on that committee. We anticipate this committee to be meeting on a quarterly basis with our staff to plan for the commemoration of this significant milestone in our history. In addition, we are recommending the establishment of an ad hoc committee with the Nuevo Water Company. In fact, President Pauley and I have had discussions over the past year with Nuevo's leadership, and we think it's important to have a more formal and regular ad hoc committee to discuss issues of mutual interest and to coordinate opportunities that we can work on together. And for that committee, we are recommending that President Pauley serve on the committee as well as Director Record. Those are the changes for now, but I will share with you that we are anticipating further changes in a matter of the next couple of months. Specifically, as you're aware, our Deputy General Manager, Laura Nemora, is planning to retire in March. So she currently serves as our treasurer. Upon her retirement, we will be bringing forward a change in that role. Also, with the anticipation of today's approval by the board of the water service agreement with Fallbrook, we will be exploring with Fallbrook the establishment of an ad hoc committee that will also be meeting on a regular basis. So we will be bringing this item back in the next couple of months with additional changes as we have done in the past. With that, we are recommending approval of the attached resolution that would authorize the changes that I described. Be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
I have no questions. Fine. Motion by Director Corona. Second by Director Slauson. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Approved 3-0 with Directors Armstrong and Record absent. That will take us to item D this morning, which is to approve and authorize a water billing and service agreement with the Fallbrook Public Utilities District. Nick.
Thank you, President Pauley. As you mentioned, this item is to bring forward for your consideration approval of a water billing and service agreement with the Fallbrook Public Utilities District. Before I continue, I just want to acknowledge that Jack Beebe, General Manager with Fallbrook, is here with us today. Mm-hmm. And if you have questions following the presentation, he's also available to answer any questions and may want to make a few comments himself. As Joe mentioned in his update, a key milestone was achieved for the San Diego LAFCO process in considering Fallbrook's application for reorganization. On December 28th, 29th, LAFCO issued its certificate of completion and filed that with the counties of San Diego and Riverside. And with that, Fallbrook became a part of Eastern Service Territory as of January 1st. Leading up to that, as Joe mentioned, there was, you know, about 4 years of LAFCO application process. Some of the key milestones along the way included, you know, LAFCO in June of 2023 issuing a conditional approval of the proposed reorganization, followed with an overwhelming public vote in approval of that reorganization by the residents and property owners of Fallbrook. And then, as Joe also mentioned, which is key to this water service agreement, is the settlement of the County Water Authority lawsuit and agreement on an operations plan between Fallbrook and the County Water Authority. So that brings us to this point where Fallbrook and Eastern now desire to enter into a water service agreement to provide them with metropolitan potable wholesale water for their needs. And what I'd like to do is just take a few moments. Included in your packet is the water service agreement along with LAFCO's certificate of completions and the operations plan. I'd like to take a moment to just walk you through a few key terms and conditions of the water service agreement with regards to delivery of water and responsibilities of the parties. The agreement goes on to say that Eastern will provide Fallbrook with treated potable water delivery to Eastern by Metropolitan, and that water will be provided by Eastern to Fallbrook in accordance with the water delivery protocol included in the operations plan between Fallbrook and the Water Authority. Eastern shall receive water delivery orders from Fallbrook and shall communicate such orders to Metropolitan. That is currently in effect, and that's going fairly smoothly since January 1st. The agreement goes on to say that Fallbrook acknowledges, understands, and agrees that it shall be entirely responsible for the scheduling, receipt, and distribution of water in accordance with the operations plan, and that Eastern shall bear no liability or responsibility for Fallbrook's compliance with the plan. Further, Eastern is providing Fallbrook water that is treated and supplied by Metropolitan for potable use, and Eastern bears no responsibility for the reliability of Metropolitan supply nor for water quality issues. And as we've explained to the board, the operation and delivery of the water through the Metropolitan connection to Fallbrook is entirely Fallbrook's responsibility. We have no control over that, so that is why the operations plan is key to this agreement and the agreement structured in this way. During supply allocations by Metropolitan, Eastern will develop supply allocations for its wholesale agencies, now including Fallbrook. And additionally, as a member agency of Metropolitan, Eastern shall provide Fallbrook with access to Metropolitan's programs, including those such as Metropolitan's local resource program. So we'll work with Fallbrook as a partner to identify programs that would be beneficial to Fallbrook that we could coordinate with them. They do have an existing LRP agreement that was executed with the San Diego County Water Authority, which will now be transferred to Eastern, and they'll continue to receive the benefit of that. With regards to rates for delivery of that imported water, agreement states that Eastern shall bill Fallbrook for deliveries made through the assigned connections, which shall be based upon Metropolitan Eastern's rates. And the billing is going to will include three components: Metropolitan water commodity charge. This is the actual pass through of the cost of Metropolitan based on an acre foot. Metropolitan fixed charge components, and Fallbrook shall pay its proportional share of Metropolitan's fixed charges, which will include capacity charge and readiness to serve charge. And then finally, additionally, Eastern will be applying an administrative overhead charge. And this charge has been established at $11 per acre foot. And for Fallbrook, using a newly established rate code of E404, the administrative charge is subject to reasonable annual adjustments. Any administrative and billing of water to Fallbrook, which includes Easton's direct operational and administrative costs for services provided to Fallbrook. They'll pay their proportional direct and indirect costs within that administrative charge. In the event Easton elects to perform a comprehensive cost of service study for reassessment of the administrative charge, the agreement provides for that we shall meet and discuss in good faith the appropriate methodology going forward. So 4 years ago, we had identified $11 per acre foot of that administrative charge. That is what we have in the agreement. It does provide for annual adjustments as necessary going forward. Payment and billing procedures are very simple. We will be invoiced by Metropolitan for Fallbrook's receipt of that water. Once we receive an invoice from Metropolitan, we will in turn submit an invoice within 10 days to Fallbrook. They'll have 30 days in which to pay. After 45 days, there's a provision for late fees and interest if we elect to apply those. The term of this agreement does commence on January 1st and will remain in effect until terminated by written mutual agreement by the parties. And then finally, as all good agreements have, indemnification. And the indemnification language here is that Fallbrook shall release, hold harmless, immediately defend at its own expense, and indemnify Easton's offices and employees for any claims, losses, and damages, including reasonable attorney's fees in the purchase of the water pursuant to this agreement. Any water quality-related issues and any issues related to operations and functionality of the systems of Fallbrook Metropolitan Water Authority in renting such services under this agreement are also included in the indemnification. Again, Easton has no role in the operation of those systems, so that's entirely Fallbrook's responsibility. With that, staff's recommendation today is to approve and authorize execution by the general manager or his designee of a water billing and service agreement, including any non-substantive changes that may be necessary between Easton and Fallbrook for the delivery of Met Water District wholesale treated water supply to Fallbrook, and also to approve and authorize the establishment of a rate code for E404 for Easton's billing of direct and indirect administrative and overhead costs for supplying wholesale treated water to Fallbrook, currently set at $11 per acre foot, subject to future adjustments. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
What's the last number you just said?
$11 per acre foot.
Oh, what is that percentage-wise? Is that 1% or something?
1% of
the total?
It's less than 1% of the wholesale rate for Metropolitan. Metropolitan's Tier 1 rate, if I'm not mistaken, and John is here, is it's about $1,300 an acre foot.
Okay,
so $11 would be less than 1%.
Very small percent.
Okay, no, I think this has been a long process, and I appreciate the work you've done in tracking this and help shepherding it. So it's something that we agreed to if Fallbrook would handle it, take the responsibility, and I think it's equitable. So.
And we do have a public speaker on this, so and I have one additional question. But Mr. Beebe, why don't you come forward if you want to have your 3 minutes or plus 3 minutes or?
I just really, President Pauly and board members, I really appreciate. I don't want to say Easton supporting us because we were very clear from the beginning. Really, I'd say accommodating our request, and this was a very important issue for the Fallbrook Public Utility District. I think you noticed by the vote, our public was very supportive of this. You have people that live in Fallbrook and know there's a bit of rate fatigue that was happening in Fallbrook. We had really been struggling with, rates, partly due to the cost of water and our cost through the Water Authority, partly because we're an old system with old infrastructure. We can't really do much about the infrastructure side. We could do something about the cost of water side, and this was a big deal. We were able to lower rates starting January 1st, about 5% on average for residential customers versus having to raise them 6%. So that's a big difference, and it was really this switch that allowed that to happen. So we're really thank Easton for standing by on this. Thank staff. I know Mr. Kinnett has had to sit through meetings for the last 4 years, many of those. I'm sure he'd wish he had those days back. So, you know, really appreciate staff and Mr. Mawad shepherding this through now to get the final administrative steps done with Metropolitan. So I just really wanted to thank you guys. And it may seem like we're a combative group for the last 4 years, but we're really not. We're actually generally pretty easy Fallbrook Public Utility District to work with, and we're really looking forward to what is, you know, our new configuration we plan to be in forever going forward, and it being a very collaborative relationship. So thank you.
Well, thank you for being here, Director Slauson.
I'll make one comment. I'll modify my term. You weren't shepherding it, you were tracking it, providing technical data and providing us with all the information. That was invaluable. So,
no, Nick did a fantastic job on this. I don't know if he raised his hand one day and volunteered for this assignment, but he did over the last four-plus years, did a fantastic job. I just have one question on this. So with this vote today, Fallbrook Public Utilities District will move under the umbrella of Eastern. But from a governance standpoint, they don't have a representation on this board. So how do we address that? I know, and I do realize that at some point we're going to have to redistrict. We may possibly have another San Diego County Water Agency joining Eastern. But going forward after this vote today, I still think we need someone to represent them on this board.
That's a great point, President Pauly. So I've had some preliminary conversations with our legal counsel as far as redistricting. And right now, staff is envisioning changing the boundaries of each division to accommodate the additional service population that we're going to incorporate, not necessarily recommending any changes to the board makeup. Having said that, as you indicated, there is another agency that is part of this, and that's the Rainbow Municipal Water District. And we didn't necessarily get into the details, but the annexation of Rainbow to EMWD is probably about a year away. They still have to complete construction of infrastructure improvements, as well as satisfy other provisions of the settlement agreement that they executed with the County Water Authority, including development of an operational plan, payment of exit fees, and other terms. So one of the things that I'll be talking to legal counsel is, does it make sense to modify the current district divisions now, with Fallbrook being annexed to EMWD, knowing that in about a year's time we will have Rainbow possibly be part of EMWD, or should we wait until both agencies are fully part of our service territory? So I'll be having those conversations with legal counsel and come back and have a conversation with the entire board and get your direction and feedback on how you would prefer to proceed.
With that, may I ask legal counsel a question now? Could we amend today's action and appoint Director Corona to represent the Fallbrook Public Utilities District until such time as a redistricting plan is brought before the board?
At today's meeting, no.
Okay.
The action you just took was to approve an agreement.
Which we haven't taken yet. But
for water. The action that's before you is to approve an agreement for essentially for water service to Fallbrook. But as to the jurisdictional boundaries of the district and the individual boundaries of the different directors, I think that's going to require another meeting. We're not noticed for that.
Okay.
So, but Joe and I have been speaking about this issue because, as I understand it, when both Rainbow and Fallbrook join, there'll be an increase in population of about 56,000.
Correct.
The case law and that addresses this issue all come under the Voting Rights Act. It was kind of one person, one vote concept. And it does allow for deviation between, in our case, divisions for the different directors. And you want to be under, generally want to be under 10%. The courts have accepted a 9% deviation. So I don't know what effect this is going to have on the district at this point, being Fallbrook joining. But at some point, be it sooner or I'd probably recommend after Fallbrook, because in my experience doing this, it's quite an expensive endeavor. You have to hire a consultant, does some demographic studies, and does some work to come up with new divisions. But at this point, for this meeting, I don't think we could take an action to essentially allot this these new residents into a certain director's division. But I'd have to think about that issue a little further and look at the elections code and see how that would be impacted.
I guess my point is, and this is a very fine point on governance, is if it does take a year to bring Rainbow in and then we do all the redistricting, which I want you to understand, we also have a good portion of people now in our new service area who do not have an elected representative on this board.
Yeah.
So I would like to maybe, from my point of view, sooner rather than later, find some sort of temporary fix to that, because I don't think it's fair to have people in a public agency who do not have a representative on that public agency's board of directors.
Point well taken, President Pauly. We'll look at what interim steps we can take, whether we want to go ahead and bring in Fallbrook representation into the Southern Division. So just to maybe to add on a little bit more detail, each current division within our service area has a population of approximately 178,000 or 77,000. So as Stephen mentioned, the addition of both Fallbrook and Rainbow would add another 56,000 with both agencies. So it will have to trigger a slight modification of each division to accommodate, say, about 15,000 change with each division. It's not going to be a significant change, but it's an important change. So we are envisioning that the district's current Southern Division would encompass representation for Fallbrook and possibly in the future if Rainbow comes in as well. So why don't we, you know, I'll go back and work with Stephen. We'll come up with an alternative that we can bring back to address your request, which is a governance issue, and how can we address it, knowing that down the road there may be yet another change. But I hear what you're saying, President Pauly, and I think it's important for Fallbrook residents to have representation relative to our governing body.
So, in essence, what it would do, and we're just discussing it now for future reference, we would not want to make any changes to all the districts yet because we don't have Rainbow and they're likely going to be included. But in the interim, if there was some mechanism that's not controlled by case law or statute to have a just put it all in his district and Steve Corona's district as an interim until Rainbow executive executed.
Well, I'm sorry. It could very well be that just the addition of Fallbrook alone into Director Corona's division doesn't breach the kind of the maximum percentage that the case law has allowed. But I don't know the answer.
So that's something you're going to look at. Okay.
Again, I just look at this from a pure governance perspective of we have people that we represent as, and they have an elected official on this board. So I think if we could take a look at that and make sure that we're not that we're keeping with the spirit of that would be great. So,
no, we'll bring this item back, President Pauly. We'll look at the statute requirements. Fallbrook by itself constitutes approximately 35,000 residents out of the 56. I believe, though, and again, we'll check the statutes, but there is a 10% differential provision within each division. So we'll have to look at all the requirements. But regardless, I think that the point is well taken. There's a governance issue that we need to address. And the sooner we address that, I think that the better. So we'll confer with legal, bring back an item for your consideration.
Okay. I think if there are any complaints, I think they should all be directed to Director Pauly, as he's the big boss.
But any positive input.
Listen, all positive stuff, just send it my way. That's great.
I will also note, in addition to the governors, there are other steps that have to be taken as a result of this reorganization. And in talking to Metropolitan, the immediate step was to get the billing and operational changes implemented as of January 1st. But there are other changes that will be requested of Metropolitan later this month, including our assessed valuation, the entire question with the RTS charge, capacity charges. Frankly, simple things like our boundary map has to be changed at Metropolitan. So there are other practical changes and pragmatic changes that have to be made. So I've already started that conversation with the general manager at Metropolitan.
Right. If there's no further questions, I will make the motion.
Second.
Second by Director Corona. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
That passes 3-0 with Directors Armstrong and Record absent. Thank you. Welcome to Eastern. All right. We have no informational items or presentations today. I'll make a motion to receive and file various reports on item 7. Second by Director Slauson. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Passes 3-0 with Director Records and Armstrong absent. We will go now to our calendar review.
Good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. Happy New Year. Hope you had a great holiday season. This morning's calendar review is quite short, as there are no new events to share with you. If turning to page 2 is the current listing of the board members' master calendar for the next 2 weeks. If you would please review the information and let me know if there are any updates or changes. Page 3 is the list of upcoming events, starting with Friday, January 26th, is the Moreno Valley 2024 Installation and Citizen of the Year Banquet, which is taking place in Riverside. And Wednesday, February 21st through Friday, February 23rd, is the Urban Water Institute Spring 2024 Conference. Continuing on page 3 is the board and the board committee meetings through March, and all are on schedule. Top of page 4 is the list of upcoming interagency meetings, also all on schedule. Following is the district office holiday schedule. EMWD offices are closed on the following dates: January 15th in observance of Martin Luther King Day, and February 19th in observance of President's Day. Are there any questions or comments regarding the calendar?
For me.
No? Okay. That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will move on to Director's Attendance Report. We will start with Director Corona.
Yes, I had my monthly update meeting with the general manager, and that's all I have.
All right. I had a meeting yesterday to get an update on IE Works and some strategies going forward. I understand that we are getting a fellow from them, so that is good news. And more to come on that. Director Slauson.
I had my monthly meeting with Joe Mawad on the 22nd of December. Got an update on everything that was coming up on the agenda.
All right. Do we have any director's comments or future agenda items? And I'll ask legal counsel if we need a closed session.
We do not, Mr. Chair. The dismissal that was filed yesterday disposes of the need to have the closed session.
Very good. With that, I believe it's before 10 o'clock. We will adjourn until, I believe, January 17th at 9 a.m. Yeah,